To thank you for making Subway footlongs famous, now enjoy any regular footlong as a $5 footlong. That's right, any, including your favorites, like the savory chicken and bacon ranch. Any Subway regular footlong is just $5. Hurry in.
The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report. Going to do a little Winter Olympics today. Jacko coming on a little bit right now from Saturday Night Live. He went to Vancouver for a few days, and now he is on the Subway Fresh Tech Hotline. Seth Meyers, what's happening?
How are you, buddy?
How is Vancouver?
It was outstanding.
Yeah?
I've been at NBC for 9 years. I've never taken advantage of the fact that the Olympics are on NBC. And so I finally asked if I could go and went and had more fun than I thought I would. I got completely caught up in the Olympic spirit.
Nice. So what days were you there for?
I was there. I got there Friday, went to the opening ceremonies, which was the low light for me.
Yeah.
Mostly just because you're sort of stuck in your seat. And also, it has nothing to do with sports.
Yep.
You feel like you're watching a really long presentation at like the Canada's Natural History Museum. And it's fun when like the athletes walk in, but even that like is a little bit more fun, I think, at home because it's built for television.
Yep.
And then we went to an event a night for the next, I guess, four. I went to short track speed skating.
How was that?
I can't say enough of how great it was live. It was
really
so fast, and like you, TV doesn't do it justice. The other great thing about, which will seem like the opposite of a great thing, is that when you go to these events for 4 hours, by the end, when it actually counts, you are like a mini expert because you've watched so much of it. And like on TV, you sort of don't see all the qualifying rounds and everything like that. But, you know, like on that short track, when it's about passing, you kind of have one shot to pass.
Yeah.
And if you try to pass and you don't pass a guy, you don't have enough in your tank to try again.
Yeah.
And that was the one where the three South Koreans were winning, and two and three knocked each other over, and Ono finished second. And that was super exciting.
I still feel like there should be best two out of three for the final match because it does seem like it's almost too chancy.
It is too chancy, and it's also like it's a little ticky-tack with what's a foul and whatnot. You know,
yes.
Like they tell you you can't put your hands on people, and then you watch and you go, well, it seemed like everybody did.
Yeah.
So it's strangely like a little bit like, I mean, I feel like maybe it's a little bit like referees being like, let them play in the last one. But because of that, you do feel like two out of three would be better.
So when you go to the short track thing, you're there and it's just, you're there for like 3 hours. Like how long are you there?
That was probably a 3 hour night. Yeah. They're probably about 3 hours.
And then with breaks and you go and get food and stuff.
Yeah. There's breaks. It's probably about, you know, the other thing, which I didn't realize, which of course makes sense, is it's very hard to see two events in a day at the Olympics.
Cause they're not near each other.
Spread out. Right.
Yeah.
And we never went up to Whistler, which was the skiing, which I wish I had because I hear Whistler's beautiful. But also, when the beginning of the Olympics, there was a lot of rain. And a lot of people were coming back from Whistler who had gone up, and like the whole day had been canceled. So we decided not to risk it. So I never saw anybody on snow. I only saw people on ice.
So what else did you see?
The next day was, I believe, Valentine's Day, and my girlfriend and I went to see Paris figure skating.
Look at you brought the girlfriend. That's a strong move.
Very strong. But again, the Olympics are, if there's ever a sporting event to bring a girlfriend to.
I mean, that's about as many points as you can win. We're going to Vancouver for the Olympics.
I love it. I wish with girlfriends you got to keep your points.
They expire. They're like airline miles. They expire in a year.
They're faster than airline miles. But I will say that I went with my arms crossed to Paris figure skating and was absolutely converted. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Well, give me the reasons why.
Well, the biggest thing that happened was an hour into it, I went to like get beers and I saw that you could buy like a radio earpiece for $20, which was the best $20 I ever spent. And it was like three figure skating experts who were actually there in the arena, three Canadians, who were sort of explaining all the backstory for you. Mm. So you kind of had that thing of like you were there live, but you also got the upside of like the TV announcer sort of explaining it to you. And also they were a little bit looser than TV, in a way that was like, because like as the night went on, you kind of got to know and like them.
Yeah.
And the best, I can't say it, but somebody landed a jump and it was two guys and a woman, and the woman just, said an expletive, and that was like all they said, which was really great. The other great, I mean, the funny thing is how you feel like a rube when you first show up, because you show up and like you realize that there's 20 pairs and like four have a chance to win. Because, and what you understand is like, it's basically like your program has a max number of points based on how well you do it. And like, you know, the Estonians went first and I thought they did great. And then, you know, 2 hours later, I realized that's because they were doing like, you know, a level A compared to, you know, the major league stuff that was going on later.
Mm.
There was a lot of, so you go to, the thing about the short program is, if like, I guess everybody does, God, I can't believe that, I can't remember, like, I want to say like 2:40, 2 minutes 40 seconds, and they're all sort of similar, they all have to do the same elements. And, you know, the end of the night, they have these sort of standings, and there was a Chinese couple that had like come out of retirement, she was 31 and he was 36, so they were like the Favres of Chinese figure skating, and they were great. You just, when you watch them, you're like, oh, they're so much better than everybody.
I saw them. They were excellent.
They're just excellent. And so they actually went first the first night, which was the only good people that went first, I think probably because like they had a low ranking from coming out of retirement.
Hmm.
Anyways, we went. It was great. And then my girlfriend went back to L.A., and then I went back the next night for long program, pair favorite thing. I was so invested.
What? You soloed?
I was, Lauren was there as well, and some other people from the show. Right. So, and there was also like, with the way it worked with NBC is you had a ticket, you had one event ticket a day, and you could trade it in if you wanted to. And it was sort of, I think the other thing, I could have gone to long track speed skating, but I don't think live you want to see the ones where it's just about the clock. Like, short track's great because they're actually racing each other.
Yeah.
And when you just like a day of like just watching people go, I mean, again, I bet if I went, I would have loved it because that seems to be like the way it goes. But, so we went to long program, which was everybody was falling all night. And then it was just like great thing. It came down to like the Germans and the Chinese, and you were like, oh, they're not going to fall. And they just didn't. They were just like, the last three were really good, and the Chinese Favres won.
I'm really disappointed you didn't go to curling.
Yeah, I am. I get it. Well, first of all, I know you're disappointed because I follow you on Twitter, and it's all you talk about. So I could tell that this was coming. It was like amazing. Like it was always on, you know, here it's on cable. Everywhere you went in Canada, it was on TV. Like it wasn't like buried on their second network or anything, curling.
Yeah, I don't think everybody assumes hockey is the Canadian national sport. And, you know, curling is at least like a very strong number two, it seems like.
Yeah. You, of course, saw the O Canada moment, which was one of the top five moments so far.
Remind me.
Canada was playing Great Britain, and Canada was down 6-5, and while they were lining up their shot, the entire stadium sang "Oh Canada," which was just outstanding.
And the best part was they were going against Britain, which nobody likes.
Yeah.
Everybody, Great Britain's just a natural rival all the time anyway, so it made it even... Yeah,
like that old school. That's like, I gotta say, like, even, it's so fun, even in singles... men's singles. I love it. Just for a moment, it's great when the Russians are the bad guys again.
Yeah.
Like, just even if it's just figure skating, there's something wonderful about going up against the Russians. It just reminds me of a simpler time.
Yeah, and I also, I gotta say, I enjoyed rooting against the Koreans. I don't know why.
Yeah.
She's like, whatever. Yeah, the Koreans. They're a little edgy now. It's fun to root against the Koreans. Korean speed skaters. Short track speed skaters.
I also love how certain countries just dominate a sport. Like, you know, I used to live in Holland, and so, like, I'm always happy when the Dutch win stuff. But, of course, they're like long track speed skaters. Mm. And Koreans are short track speed skaters, and Norwegians are cross-country skiers. I just like that. I like when things happen like that.
Are you okay with the fact that we've created all these new Olympic events so that we could win more gold medals?
I have to say, like, the only one that super bums me out, which I don't know my Olympic history enough to know how long it's been around. Like, ice dancing bums me out. Because that, it seems like, it's just so, I mean, again, like, maybe if I'd seen ice skating, my cynicism would have melted away there. But at least in Paris figure skating, there's a lot of throwing, and, you know,
yep.
It seems like a way harder. Because, like, I can't, like, even when I'm, like, fast-forwarding through ice dancing, it's crazy ridiculous.
It seems they created that one just for TV ratings, because women are just paralyzed by ice dancing. I put it on last night, and my wife just froze. Like, she just couldn't move for as long as it was on. It does something to them. I don't know what it is. It's the same.
And by the way, I'm all for that part of the Olympics. I really do like that it's ever for everybody. I don't have to. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, if the third Twilight movie had ice dancing, it'd be all over.
Yeah.
The world would self-combust.
And then, I got to say, most of the X Games style events, they're pretty fun to watch. I do think at some point, I mean, I think it's like, I would be bummed out if we created them to win the medals. I'm okay if we created them to keep the interest of the youth of the countries.
Yeah. Maybe a little both.
Little both. I can live with a little both, too.
It is funny, though, that this Shaun White has become... Really, him and Lindsey Vonn, I think, were the two most famous American Olympians this time.
Yeah. I think, like, Bodie Miller has, like, carved his way back into it.
He's, like, third. I'd put him third.
Yeah.
He rallied back. And Apollo Ono, I'd say, is either third or fourth. Maybe they're tied for third.
But I was very happy for Bodie Miller as a fellow New Hampshire guy. Happy. I also like, because I realized Bodie Miller in 2006 was the best example of why, if you're an athlete, you should never give anything other than a boring interview.
It's true.
Just got killed for it for like 4 years.
And my whole thing is, we do the Olympics every 4 years because that's how it was done way back when. All right, let's move it to every 3 years now. Like, this is fun. Yeah. We should have this every 3 years. Why do we have to wait four? You screw up once, you have to wait another 4 years. By that time, you know, your window is basically closed, you know? I get it for presidential elections. I don't get it for competitions trying to figure out who the best is.
I would be more worried that, you know, the future with, like, less Olympics, because they're so expensive. Like, it was interesting being in Vancouver, which is absolutely one of my favorite cities I've ever been to. And the people are super nice, but I mean the cost of putting these things on, and the question of if the TV money goes down for these next couple, you know, because I think that some countries would say they were happy to have the Olympics and some would say they were not. That's the bummer, like just how expensive it all is.
Well, have you ever read, I mean, they do studies about this now. Chicago was really upset because they didn't get, I think, 2016.
Right.
And then there is a whole element of people who are like, look, this is probably the best thing that ever happened to you, Chicago, because you would have had gridlock for the next 6 years as you built all the stupid facilities you need. You have this for 2 weeks, and there's some misnomer. It's kind of the same thing about when, in sports, when they built state-of-the-art arenas. It's like, oh, this could be great. This can rejuvenate downtown. And in a couple of cases, that has happened, but in a lot of cases, it hasn't, you know?
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, I think Sydney is a city that would say they were happy to have it. I think that sort of like, again, if you want to like show people that you're a modern city and everything, but
yes,
you know, with everything that's happening with, you know, the Greece economy right now, I don't know if they would have told you that they were super happy they spent all that money in the Olympics a few years back.
Well, when we were driving from Washington to Miami, we passed through, Georgia state line, and the sign was, "Welcome to Georgia, home of the 1996 Summer Olympics." I thought that was interesting. They're still milking it 14 years later.
I believe, I'm not an expert in this, but I believe that there's a lot of sort of like, you know, empty, you know, facilities they built in Atlanta. But again, that's I feel like I've only heard that secondhand.
Well, all right, let's say, I mean, like, look at Vancouver, for example. What are they going to do with, like, these bobsled and luge and short, whatever, that freestyle skiing with the four people going at once? What do they do with all those places?
I don't, I mean, I guess you just say that that's sunk money. I mean, like, I know that we, the long track speed skating arena, there were, you know, at least some people said they were really excited about that because it's sort of in a suburb and then it's going to become, like, this huge community center. And that sounds great, but of course, it's the sort of money people never spend on community centers.
Yeah.
So you end up getting like whatever 10 cents on a dollar of what you wanted from it. And so you have to hope like the other 90 cents just comes from like improving your city's image.
Yeah, it seems like it's an ego thing. Because like with Vancouver, I already knew Vancouver was beautiful.
Yeah.
I already knew it was a cool place. Like I didn't need the Olympics to bang that point home for me. And I'm sure like you were there and you weren't shocked that Vancouver was nice.
No. Lived in Chicago for a long time, I would say the people I knew, it was split 50-50 as far as whether or not they wanted it.
Right. I'm not really sure what Chicago gains other than the fact that, you know, yeah, it's cool. We have the Olympics. But ultimately, is it worth all the money it costs? And where does it take you? I don't know. I'd love to see. You'd think there would be one smart person out there that could come up with, like, the definitive PhD project on this.
Right.
You know, cause like you look at like what happened with Fenway, like they almost spent all this money to build a new ballpark at Fenway and we all wanted it. You know, I know I did. It was like, oh, this would be great. And they end up not doing it. And they just basically renovated the old one, but built all around it and built up the, and now it's like a cash cow.
Yeah.
And then you look at some of the other sports, like some of the Seattle Supersonics, like they lose their team because the arena wasn't quote unquote up to total standards. Like, well, what are total standards? You know, half of 20 of the NBA teams are going to lose money this year. Obviously we're doing something wrong.
Right.
We need to refigure out this whole thing.
I agree. And then the last of my sports where I went to the first two, I went to two hockey games. I went to, USA, Switzerland and, Canada, Norway.
And how are those?
Great. Yeah. It was great. It was also like that was the day you felt like locally the Olympics started. Like people in the streets where it really was like a Super Bowl atmosphere. Because of Lorne, I had the good fortune. I met Wayne Gretzky, which is very exciting. He's also like just it was that nice subtle burn of being in a room with Lorne where he's the second famous Canadian, second most famous.
Right.
Enjoyed that.
I like when Jana Jones is like the first lady of the Canadian hockey team, but she's American. That's always rubbing.
I met her as well, which was very exciting.
Yeah.
As a fan of the Flamingo Kid, that was even, you know, more.
Yes. Yeah.
But it was the day before and he was saying that like, it was actually something I believe he even said as a joke, like if we don't win 8-0, they're going to burn the place down, which they ended up winning 8-0. But after the first period, it was 0-0 and, you couldn't believe how tight the crowd was.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I mean, it's that pre-2004 Red Sox crowd.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, uh-oh. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
the
boy.
The one that was reminded me the most of is as a Steeler fan, I was in Heinz Field for the 2001 AFC Championship game against the Patriots, who were huge favorites. Because it wasn't, at least the pre-2004 Red Sox weren't often favorites the way that, like.
Yep.
You're huge favorites in playing Norway in 0-0. You just felt like everybody. And then, you know, the goals started coming. But it's weird. I'm very torn. I mean, obviously I'm rooting, you know, for the U.S. and hockey. But you go and you see how much those people care about it. It is, you know, I certainly wouldn't mind if Canada won.
So you guys survived the late night shakeup.
We got through it.
You got through it.
11:30 on Saturday. we're good to go.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
Weird times at the NBC network.
Crazy times. I just saw, you know, watching, I liked it. It's just in Jay Leno in another car with another new time on the side of it.
Yep. Now, did you feel like you had to pick sides or did you try to stay neutral like Switzerland?
You know, I think, you know, I don't think we, I mean, we did a little thing on the show about it. Obviously, you know, Conan is, one of ours,
Yep.
I think, you know, obviously came from the show. And, you know, ultimately I think we were, you know, what you end up doing more than anything is you just root for whatever is happening to work. And so I think we were all rooting for Conan to work at 11:30. And, you know, to be honest, rooting for Jay to work at 10 as well, because that would have, I mean, in a perfect world, you know, we're a number one network. So,
but well, it's weird
it's that,
but your show really wasn't affected at all. It was on a night when neither of those shows were on. And people
right, we were
always seem to find SNL no matter what's going on.
Yeah.
Which
and
was
that
my,
is the interesting
well,
thing.
I mean, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say that was the, you know, that's the toughest thing for the Conan backers to kind of fight back on. It's ultimately, if you have a good show, people are going to find it. Like, I don't know what Jon Stewart's lead-in is, but people find The Daily Show. So,
right.
I mean, you can only play that whole, we had a bad lead-in card to, you know, you can only take that so far before you have to take,
yeah.
I think, a little responsibility.
I do think it's split. You know, it was interesting for us because we did, you know, we usually have the night off, but when we had the one night that NBC has wildcard football, we did, we decided we'd do a show, and we had Barkley. And the show, I think our show started at like 12:10 that night, which usually would be death for us, but it was our biggest number of the year. Probably because, you know, we had the benefit of getting promoted all night, you know. So sometimes there is something to be said for a good lead-in, or at the very least, like, you know, a show that you have a lot of people watching just to promote within. Whether it's the show right before or just the network that can plug you all day.
It's funny, I noticed that during those games, that they had a few Barkley hits that were like a whet-your-appetite kind of...
Yeah.
You know, that maybe if people weren't watching the show regularly that night, they'd be like, well, I'm going to check out Barkley tonight, which you're right.
And we're coming back this week, so we're trying it again because we usually get, or usually I guess it's my third Winter Olympics on the network, but we usually have 3 weeks off for the Winter Olympics, and we're going to do a show this coming Saturday. I think for the same reason, to see if, mostly just because we think it'll because you'll have the ability while people are watching the Olympics to say, hey, we're doing the show tonight.
So during that's the closing ceremonies, right?
Yes, I believe it's we'll be on after the closing ceremony. So again, you know, I'm sure we'll be on later than we're supposed to be. But, you know, I think hopefully it'll work out. And I think it's interesting, we, you know, J-Lo, or Jennifer Lopez, I guess now, is hosting. Mm. And I think she sort of works with the Olympics the way Barkley works with NFL football. So.
I would agree with that. That'd be interesting. Have you had J-Lo as a host before?
She hosted the year before I was on, but she was really good. We were watching tapes of her yesterday, and she came in yesterday. It was really nice and up for anything.
Who is the biggest surprise? Who's the biggest surprise of the hosts you've had this year?
Not a surprise, but I think we were all really relieved that Jon Hamm wasn't a one-hit wonder, just because we like him so much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because you know, Jim Downey, the sort of the eminence grise of the show, is always says that everybody who's been hosted a bunch always has a bad second show. Like, he claims Baldwin was a bad second show, Steve Martin was a bad second show.
So it's like a sophomore jinx.
Yeah, it's the sophomore jinx, and he was saying that Hamm did better getting over that than anyone he's ever seen. So that was that was really good. And Barkley was, you know, like, again, it's like, you almost expect to be disappointed because you have such high expectations spending a week with Barkley.
Yeah.
And he did not disappoint at all. He was just the best.
Give me your best Barkley story from the week.
The best Barkley story was, it was like we were rehearsing. It was Saturday around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We were rehearsing a scene, and he just lost it on the cue card guy. Like, was really mad and sort of said, like, you've been messing up all week, and you drive me crazy, and I'm having a hard enough time with this. And we were watching it. We were getting ready for update. We were upstairs watching the feed, and every cast member in the scene, like, froze and lost their cool. And Barkley had figured that they'd planned it beforehand. He and the cue card guy.
Really?
He really could. He literally stormed out and slammed the door and then came back in laughing. And the release in the studio was outstanding. And I just love that thing of, like, of course, like actors don't pull as many pranks as athletes do.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You brought back Greg the Alien.
We did bring back Greg the Alien. Well, John Hamm could do a good Greg the Alien. So
I was excited to see Greg the Alien.
What did you say?
I was excited for Greg the Alien. That's my new... Him and Greg Stink are my new two favorite guys this season. My breakout stars of the season.
The other great thing about Greg the Alien, I don't know if you know the secret, but what my favorite thing about it is I am always one of the callers to Greg the Alien.
So. I noticed. Yeah, I noticed.
Okay. Hey, they'll be back in the sketch game, even off camera.
They, you know, when you have the recurring SNL characters, sometimes it'll just be... It'll be just a rehash of the same sketch in a different, like with a different set or whatever. But then you have the ones that are going to, you know, they're going to progress.
Right.
You know, it's going to get just each time it'll get a little crazier and a little weirder. And I think that's where Greg the Alien is headed.
Yes. Well, he's definitely headed there now. Like they definitely have set up a pretty, a high trajectory, a clef-ass trajectory. Cause like the puppet guys, we were working overtime when we had, I think, 8 Greg the Aliens in the last one.
Yeah, and you have to get the fake tail.
Yep.
Do that and, whole thing.
Yeah, no, it's Greg the Alien's a fun, and we all enjoy Greg the Alien a good amount. And Greg Stink, it was a big year for Greg's.
Well, so so you have the show coming up. You have, obviously, you need to get those guys in some sort of a curling setting, right?
Yeah, there's curling, and Hader's got a little bit of a figure skater. He thinks he can do a lice check. I'm going to say I'm wrong, but I think he's still see what we can do with that.
Okay.
And, yeah, it's well, good. Then, exciting to be doing it's nice to do a show right after a big event. Like, it would be, you know, obviously doing it after the Wild Card Weekend is different than doing it after the Super Bowl.
So, you missed the biggest layup in the history of your show, which was the Tiger Woods press conference on a Friday.
I read you saying, I mean, it really did look like one of our sets.
It started out like one of your opening sketches where there's nobody's at the podium yet and you see the heads. I don't know what else you could have done though to I don't know where you take that. It was a Saturday Night Live sketch. I don't know how you make that more of a sketch.
It would have been, right, it's one of those things where oftentimes you get the most scared about the ones that look like a layup.
Yeah.
Because that was like the Sarah Palin stuff. Everybody's like, oh, this will be great. And then you were like, oh, now it kind of has to be.
Yeah, because you had the Palin-Korick, Katie Couric interview?
Yeah.
And it was almost that was a sketch itself. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it was good. I mean, to be honest, like, you know, I think Tina realized more than anyone that we could just run right at it. You know what I mean? Like, not worry about trying to overheighten that idea.
Any chance she comes back this season for retro? Yeah.
She's hosting. We actually have some really good hosts coming up, so she's going to come back and host, which will be exciting.
Who else is coming?
Galifianakis.
Interesting. Finally getting the call. It's been a while for him.
Yeah, it has been a while. I mean, like, I feel like post-hangover.
Yes.
Like, when it, well, you know, that makes, I'm very, very excited. He's obviously a super funny guy. He's a really nice guy. That'll be fun. Jude Law is coming back. Jude Law, do you remember what famous show Jude Law hosted? SNL trivia. It was a show that became more famous for the musical guest.
No, I don't remember.
Ashley Simpson.
Oh.
Which was like a crazy show to be the host for.
Yeah. See, I saw the West Coast version of that when you had already edited out the lip syncing.
Oh, that's such a bummer.
Yeah, I didn't find out till the next day. That's one of those things that they got to let it fly in the West Coast if something like that happens. They owe it to us. It's not our fault.
The person who would be hardest to say that to would be Ashley Simpson.
Probably true.
We just let it fly.
Oh, you missed two layups while you were gone because the other one was that We Are the World video.
Yeah, my goodness.
Although I don't know, that was another case where that was an SNL sketch itself and there's almost nowhere to take that.
Yeah, yeah. Really crazy. But, you know, good cause, right?
Yeah, I would say it was really legitimately inexplicable.
Yeah. It kind of is like, yeah.
The starting out with the Jamie Foxx Like his little speech. I don't know what was happening there. And then, like, you know, the first kid, you just assume they're going to be, the leadoff hitter is going to be somebody who I might recognize. I feel like I'm not out of the loop yet. I might be 40, but I know who really everybody is. And with some kid, I'm like, is that Prince Jackson? Like, I don't know who this kid is. And then it just went from there, and it's, you know, to not have, like, the little name tags on the bottom or the chyrons to tell me who each person was. Put it this way. I didn't have that problem in 1985. I knew who each person was. It was like, hey, there's, you know, there's Bob Dylan. There's Michael Jackson. There's, I don't know, on and on and on. Kim Carnes, I guess, was, like, a big stretch for them in 1985.
Right.
But and she had, you know, Betty Davis as the number one song. This one, it was just, like,
I guess,
you know,
even I remember if there were a few people I didn't know in the world, my parents certainly knew who they were.
Yeah.
Like, well, that was that.
I mean, you can't get Chris Martin for this. Like, you can't get John Mayer. You can't get Dave Matthews. You can't get was Kanye in it? I don't think he was.
No.
On down the line, you got to hit all the big ones if you're going to remake Rear of the World.
They're probably happy they went away from the John Mayer choice. But at the time,
yeah, that's true.
Perfectly good choice.
Now, what does he have to do to host SNL? Because clearly, he's gunning for it at this point with all of his interviews.
Yeah, I mean, I think we say maybe a step back with that. That was it. The Playboy interview, was that the one he got in trouble for?
Yeah, I think his quest to be so candid that he'd be a multimedia personality that would eventually host SNL that probably got derailed a little bit.
Yeah,
he apologized though.
Absolutely, and people have done far worse things and ended up hosting our show. So, I'm going to say it's still wide open.
I was more excited about, you know, what got lost in the whole racial element, and, you know, rightfully that took precedent. But the sexual napalm stuff was fantastic. I mean, I wanted to find out so much more about that.
Yeah,
and it came and went.
Like, yeah, I mean, with a story like that, you really should have to say, like, before we write about this, we need everybody to read the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because it did get, like, I mean, again, going back to Bodie Miller, there's nothing to be gained by candidness.
It's true.
We just live in a time where it will be cut, they will cut it so, they can thin slice it so fast.
Yeah.
And then it's not really like people coming to you to have you explain it. They just sort of take it and run with it. So.
Well, he learned his lesson.
Absolutely.
And he'll, he'll be able to get out his angst about it in his next album, which I'm sure will figure three songs about being too candid.
Sexual Napalm.
I hope Sexual Napalm's a song. I got to be honest.
It should be the cover of the album.
It's so good, though. Like, it's one of those things, like, if I had a friend who was like, you know that, like, you're at a party and they go, hey, I dated that girl over there. That girl is Sexual Napalm. You'd be like, what? Can I have some stories? What does this mean? But anyway, so you're coming back on... next Saturday. This Saturday or next Saturday?
This coming Saturday.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, we're back at work.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, I didn't even realize I was bugging you at work.
No, it's perfect.
I'll let you go.
Promotion.
Yeah, this is good.
Me in cross-platform promotion here.
Thanks for being in the Subway Fresh Take Hotline.
Excellent. Thank you for letting me share my Olympic glory.
It was my pleasure. I'll talk to you. We'll talk to you as we get closer to the summer because you have some things going on that will be of interest.
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
Okay. Take care.
All right. Bye, buddy.
Complex Litigation. This is John.
Johnny.
Hey there, Willie.
How are you?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
You wearing your Team USA jersey?
I am. I like the ones they wore the other night, the 1960 replicas.
Oh, no, I'm talking about curling.
Oh, my curling jersey. Still at the dry cleaners. I was so mad after last night's loss.
Now, I tweeted this last night. I'd like your thoughts on this. How can we tell that the curling team isn't drunk that we have, the American curling team?
You couldn't, and frankly, it would be an upgrade if they were.
I think they should be, right?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, curling is a sport like bowling or pool that you can play with a beer in one hand and like a cigarette hanging out of your mouth.
I agree.
So I would totally encourage them to drink more. It might loosen them up a little bit.
I had somebody, one of my Twitter followers, suggested that we have a reality show to figure out the 2014 U.S. curling team. And actually like an elaborate reality show that would take place over 2 years where we really try to find real curlers.
I like that because, you know, the men's curling team, there was an article in the New York Times, I think it was yesterday, where right before they left for the Olympics, they were in Duluth, Minnesota at some curling club, and they had like an impromptu curling match, and they lost to these amateur curlers.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, I mean, would that happen in any other Olympic sport? Like, would Shaun White go to Vail and have an impromptu snowboarding competition and lose to just some guy that's a snowboarder? The answer is no.
I said that to my wife last night. I was watching. I was thinking, like, this is the first Olympic sport I've ever watched where I honestly feel like I could do better than the Olympians representing our country. Or well, at least I could match them.
All you need to know about curling is I was watching it yesterday before the regular Olympic thing started on NBC at, like, 7 o'clock. I was watching it Eastern time. And the Canadian team was curling with, I know, your friend Cheryl Bernard, I think is her name.
She's a curlger.
When they were beating Sweden, and it was basically like a runaway in the late innings, they brought in an alternate who's 5 months pregnant.
What?
And she's 5 months pregnant and was curling with the best of them.
That's awesome.
Anytime you have a quote-unquote sport that can be participated in by people that are 5 months pregnant, I'm not sure that that's Olympic worthy.
On the other hand, I've watched more curling than I've watched probably everything else combined. I love curling. I'm totally down with it being an Olympic sport. I just want us to be better at this because from what I can tell, this is a sport that can be played by doughy guys who have good hand-eye coordination. So I feel like I could be a curler.
Well, you tweeted about this today, about your favorite bar, Sam's, in New York closing.
Yes.
And that shuffleboard, I mean, essentially you have a lot of experience because the handheld shuffleboard game, or it's not shuffleboard like the people play retired in Florida on a cruise ship. It's like shuffleboard where you slide
with
a metal disc with your hand.
Yeah.
I mean, that is curling, basically, isn't it, essentially?
Yeah. It's all about the angles and the geometry and blocking your puck and basically not choking.
Exactly.
Which
and
is,
you've done it under the influence of copious amounts of alcohol, so imagine how good you'd be sober curling.
Not only that, but while holding a cigarette, while being bumped, bumped by drunk people holding a pitcher. I mean, I've faced a lot of adversity, Johnny, and I feel like I could curl.
You could totally face like the angry Canadian fans who made the girl from Denmark, the female Denmark curler, cry.
I do think, did that really happen?
Yeah.
Madeline DuPont?
Yeah, I was watching curling the other day, and they were talking about that, you know, curling is kind of a gentleman or gentlewoman's game.
Yeah.
Like golf or tennis, and that, you know, you should be quiet while they're figuring out the strategy and sliding the rock. And they said that there's been some controversy because the hometown Canadian team has been really raucous and chanting, and there was a woman, a skip from Denmark, I know the lingo, a skip from Denmark, and she was reduced to tears by the raucous Canadian crowd.
Oh, that's great. You know, first of all, that's where I'd start if you're really going to push curling to the next level. The crowd should be cheering. Like I spent a lot of time last night trying to figure out, you know, I guess they call it mixed curling, but I said co-ed. But
right.
Could mixed curling work as a professional league in America? And I feel like it could. I really do.
I mean, I don't see why men and women can't play together. It's not like there's really like any strength quotient or anything where like physical makeup of men and women would make that big of a difference.
I've always enjoyed the co-ed thing because there's like some weird sexual tension with it, and it's really the best of both worlds. You have men and women working together. Somebody might get attached and then break up. It's kind of like what we like about pairs figure skating.
I think you just want to curl with the curgler.
The Cheryl Bernard.
Yeah.
The look of intensity on her face is really, she really grows on you.
Curling could be ready to take off, though. They've had, like, you know, star-studded people in the crowds. They had Vernon Davis from the 49ers there the other day, which was just surreal. And then Carl Lewis was there yesterday watching the curling.
Explain to me how we live in a world where the WNBA is in year 14 and yet we don't have professional curling.
I don't know. It's an excellent question. I mean, it's kind of a niche sport, I guess, in that you can only play it in like cold climates like Minnesota. I guess every curler is basically from Minnesota, right?
But they must play
it in Wisconsin and other places like, you know, North Dakota, no?
Right. Well, I guess. But I mean it seems like you could build a curling mini arena anywhere.
I don't understand why it would be any different from bowling. People like to bowl. It's essentially the same thing. It's just on ice.
Yeah. It's like bowling with more drama.
Yeah, I mean, they said the other day it's kind of a combination of like chess and shuffleboard or something, basically. Like, and they always compare it to golf because yesterday they were talking about when you lose the ability to curl the rock or put it where you want it, it's like a hitter in baseball that can't get a hit or a
right.
golfer that lost his or her swing.
Well, the other interesting thing is it's one of those sports where it is more fun to watch the women than the men, and I think that's a very small group. It's basically soccer, tennis, and now curling. where I'd rather watch women than men.
I think this, a lot of this has to do with the curler, undoubtedly. And there was, you know, there's been some attractive curlers on other teams too, so that maybe is a factor. You need like a Danica Patrick or Anna Kournikova of curling to really set this thing on fire.
Well, when they make me the commissioner of curling, I'm going to demand that one former Hooters waitress is on each women's curling team.
So that's an idea I can get behind.
There should be some sort of way we can combine curling and The Bachelor.
Yeah, that would be good.
There's a lot of the same dynamics.
A curl-off to get the final rose or whatever, yeah.
All right, so let's say the 2014 women's curling team.
Mm.
We put everybody in a house, and we vote somebody off each week.
Oh, yeah. America's watching that show.
For, like, 2 years. We put some girls in there who are just there to start drama, and they're like, they're not here for the right reasons. They don't want to be curlers. They just want to be on TV. We get that whole thing going.
There could be, like, some vandalism of their brooms and stuff like that, you know,
yeah.
get a little drama.
I have a lot of questions about curling as I watch it that the announcers just refuse to explain. They just assume that everybody who's watching knows everything. Like, what kind of boots do they wear that they don't slip on that surface?
Well, you know what? I actually, my wife and I were watching the curling, and she was asking questions, so I was looking up curling facts on my phone.
Yes.
And the skip wears, like, one sliding shoe. And then they wear, like, one shoe that has, like, a rubber grip. So you get, like, traction with one shoe, but then you can slide with the other.
Oh,
I guess the sweepers do that, too.
And
you buy special curling shoes. But it said that in informal curling clubs that people will just wear sneakers. Or sometimes, here's a little known secret for everybody, if you just have regular sneakers, what you can do is put, like, electrical tape or duct tape on the bottom of one shoe so it has no more grip.
Oh.
And you can just slide down the ice with it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Wait, go back to the informal curling clubs part. Are there informal curling clubs?
Yeah, apparently.
How do I join one?
Like in BFL, I don't think there's probably not a lot in Los Angeles as much.
Oh. Come on, Johnny.
If you lived in like Minnesota or Wisconsin, I think they're like, you know, you could find them like bowling alleys, I think.
I really think that, you know, I'm 40 years old now. I got a bad back. This could be my sport.
Well, for the next
20 years.
If a 5-month pregnant woman can play, you can get into the game late, I think, and you could represent us in 2014 in Sochi, Russia.
I'm not okay with a five month pregnant woman on an ice surface. It's a little dangerous to me.
They said that the interesting thing was I was watching it, and this raised some questions for me too that were never answered by the announcers. But they said, whatever her name was, I don't remember her name, Mary Smith. They're like, Mary Smith couldn't, you know, the coach of the team didn't want her to be on the team. The coach of Canada didn't want her to be an alternate on the team because she was 5 months pregnant. And she's like, I can do it. I can, like, watch, I'll show you. And so she, like, did an impromptu curling or whatever. And she said she promised to live up to all the training that all the other members were going to do before the Olympics. And my question was, what is the curling training involved? Like a lot of, like, road work and, like, weightlifting? I don't think so.
Probably, like, just a lot of squats.
a lot of sweeping? I mean, like, what's the curling training?
Well, it is
other
amazing.
Other than just playing curling.
I've watched, I'm not kidding, probably 20 hours of curling so far, maybe 25. I've never seen anybody either slip or accidentally hit one of the other pucks, which I just assume would happen all the time, and it never happens.
Well, I watched that. That was yesterday. I was watching it, and somebody was sweeping, and they, like, out of nowhere, just, like, lifted their leg and averted a rock that was already there, almost like they had, like, a sixth sense of where the rock was. Because I'm like, yeah, how do you not bump into another one with your foot?
It's they're sweeping vigorously and at the same time moving at a right angle and sidestepping landmines, basically.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I've watched a fair amount of curling over the past, like, since this weekend and the past couple of days, and I don't understand really a minute of it. I get, like, the idea you throw the rock and you have to get into the house and they have the other ones to block it, but I mean, for the life of me, I don't understand the scoring. Like, I don't understand how they can tell who's going to score, and like, I'm like completely lost on it.
Well, the little tiny circle in the middle is worth 3 points.
And okay.
The outer one is worth 2, and then the outer one is worth 1.
Yeah, but I don't know. It seems to me like they have like 2 of them. Like, there'll be 2 yellows in the green thing, and then they're like, they're laying 1, and I'm just like, well, there's no red one. I'm just confused.
You know,
I watch it just because it's, like, mesmerizing. It's, like, it's relaxing,
yeah.
You know?
It really is. It's something you can have on in the background as you're answering emails and doing,
right.
Listening to music, whatever.
Yeah, and it has an interesting, like, you know, it's interesting, like, the whole group of people that are into it, like, the curling community kind of fascinates me. Like,
we need
the female announcer is kind of like like a Johnny Miller on NBC or like a McEnroe. Like she's like, oh, I didn't like that shot at all.
Yeah, yeah.
She's pretty hardcore. She's like, oh, no, not what they wanted right there. I'm like, ooh, man, she's kind of rough.
Although she did hold back on John Schuster. I've just never seen anybody who's allegedly a world-class athlete self-destruct like this over the course of a few days. It was unbelievable to watch. I mean, he's muttering to himself, I stink at this.
He's the one who's like, he always talks, right? Like, he talks smack, but just like, he's very talkative out there on the ice, they said.
He does a lot of, sorry guys.
I remember watching curling 4 years ago in Torino, and there was a curler on the American team, and he had like a goatee.
That was John Schuster. We won the bronze 4 years ago.
Was that him with the goatee?
Yeah, I think he might have let himself go since 06. I don't really know the whole story, but he was the key to that team, and now he was the key to this team finishing 2-7.
Do you think it was like a Michael Phelps situation that he won the medal and he was just like out in nightclubs and a lot of groupies and, you know, kind of on the wrong side of the tracks for a while?
That's what I was rooting for. Michael Phelps was at one of these events, and it looked like he was holding a beer.
I
was rooting for him to do the shooter and just stumble on the ice like Shooter and Hoosiers. It's not a penalty!
I saw him. They showed him, and he was like, he had his phone out. He was like texting somebody, and then one other shot, they went to him at some event, and he was like with his buddy, and they were pointing at someone in the crowd. And I know he was like, go get her number. Go see what she's doing.
You know, he shows up and they're like, uh-oh, yeah. Phelps wants tickets. Oh, boy. Exactly. Should we have somebody watching him?
Exactly.
The women's curling, though, I don't know why it's so riveting. And I tweeted this, too, that they become like bowling alley waitresses or, I don't know, or like press box, women in the press box that kind of gain hotness as it goes along.
Yeah.
You really start talking yourself into some of them. But in Cheryl Bernard's case, there's no talking into her. She's just a little vixen.
Yeah, right.
But you really, like, I feel like Madeline DuPont, I feel like I've been on 5 dates with her. I feel like I've had an intimate experience with her.
Well, I learned yesterday, they talked about her, that she's got season tickets to the Calgary Flames. And this is good news for you. This could be your chance. She just bought a house in San Diego, and she's looking to buy San Diego Chargers season tickets.
Are you talking about the Kurgler, Cheryl Bernard, or Madeline DuPont?
No, I'm talking about the Kurgler.
Okay, so the Kurgler might have San Diego Chargers season tickets.
She might, since she's a big sports fan.
Do we know how old the Kurgler is?
No.
What would you guess? She's one of those where I'd believe 45 and I'd believe 28.
I think she's probably closer to the 45. That's my guess.
You could talk me into 28, though.
Have you seen the woman from England who's 19 or whatever?
Yes.
The blonde hair and like the black, like she's got two colored hair.
I sure have.
Yeah. Do you like when they like get a little surly at their team? Like yesterday, there was some bad sweeping, and she's like, "You got to get on that. You got to get on that, eh?"
I like the testiness. I like when they scream hard, hard, hard at the top of their lungs. Let's be honest, Johnny. Women's sports, when you throw a little bit of sex appeal in there, it's the kind of equation I'm looking for.
You know who had it right is the Denmark team. They curl in skirts.
Yes.
They're ahead of the game. That's where this sport has to be headed.
That would be when I'm the commissioner of curling. That's one of my changes.
I think you skirts. Might just want to be the commissioner of women's curling.
Yeah, I don't want to be the commissioner of men's curling.
No.
I feel like I could take over that sport as well, but women's curling is where I want to be. I want to be in charge. And one of the first things we do is, as you said, skirts.
And I think on the men's curling side, that guy needs to grow his goatee back. I think there was an intimidation factor with it 4 years ago that's missing this year.
Well, if I'm the commissioner of both sides, that guy's not going to be in the 2014 team, so I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Maybe he can be a commentator. Maybe he can move into the booth.
He had another guy who one of his partners or whatever. He
yeah.
had that kind of frazzled hair. He looks like they just pulled him off some Colorado ski slope.
There's a young guy.
Yeah, the young guy. There were that guy, too, the guy who had some tattoos.
Yeah, he plays guitar and stuff. They had, like, a moment with him, and he was, like, playing acoustic guitar.
Yeah. I thought, to me, it looked like they were 2-6 going into last night's match, and they were like, let's smoke a bowl tonight and see if this goes any differently.
Nothing to lose here, yeah.
John Schuster was all over the map. He was like a pitcher who was, like, walking guys with the bases loaded.
What was his name? Steve Trevor? Trout, the guy that couldn't like throw a strike.
Yeah, he had a couple that were. He had one that I was watching with my dad because my dad was here, and like we were just laughing. It was like he missed by 5 feet. It was like some watching somebody airball a free throw that misses the rim by like 6 feet.
If you're 2-6 and you've already been eliminated, yeah. Aside from smoking the bowl, maybe they were like, let's just go and screw it. Let's just throw it anywhere.
I like how they have the coach too. What does the coach do?
Yeah, I guess, well, he or she, I guess, will come over with like strategy when you have like a strategy question of like, yeah, where do we throw the rock here, you know?
But here's the thing: the strategy is pretty obvious. As a longtime bar shuffleboard player, just watching curling on my TV, I'm like, oh, they'll hit that puck and try to ricochet it this way. I don't need a coach to explain it to me.
Well, in terms of like setting up the guards and all that, you got to think like, I guess it's like chess. You got to think 5 steps ahead as to who's got the last rock or whatever, you know?
The coach is like, Madeline DuPont has trouble going to her right.
Exactly.
Block the left. Make her go right. She can't go that way.
The thing that amazed me yesterday was there was one instance where, I guess, Canada had the last rock or whatever, and they were only going to score 1 point. And then if you slide the rock completely through the other end,
yeah,
you somehow get to have, like, last ups again the next inning, and you could possibly score more points.
Mm.
I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense at all to me. Like, oh, we're only going to score one here, so we're just going to, like, waste this one, and then we'll get last ups next inning, too. Like, I'm like, what? Huh?
I like that. I think they need to also improve the titles.
The names?
Of the different guys. Like, you know, they have the sweepers, but then, so when a team's on offense and they throw a puck, as soon as it hits any other puck, the other team can come in and start trying to sweep it to screw it up. That guy needs a name. Like, he's the antagonist or something.
Like the interceptor or something. Like, he can step in. Yeah, I know what you're saying, right?
The agitator.
Yeah, there you go.
So, get away, agitator.
Right.
You're making my puck go too far.
Exactly. He tries to sweep it all the way out, yeah.
Yeah, I need more clearly defined things. For the man, I'd like to see, you know, maybe like football jerseys. Something a little more laid back.
So, you think so?
I don't know. What they were wearing didn't really work for me. I did like that they mic'd them.
I like how they're mic'd and you can hear the strategy or whatever. I don't ever understand it, but I do like you can hear it.
The other sport that I really enjoyed, which I'm convinced that, you know, because we never used to do well in the Winter Olympics or as well as we should. We've been just making up these sports that
right.
have huge advantages in. So the hats of sport that... It's kind of like the short track speed skating.
Right.
But it was for skiing.
Oh, yeah. Well, they have it with the snowboard cross and then the ski cross.
So it's four people at a time doing this skiing, weird tracks, and guys are crashing into each other and stuff. It was awesome.
That's fantastic. I was way into the snowboard cross.
Mm.
And I was so into it. Like, I have never skied or snowboarded in my life, and I watched so much of it that by the time the finals rolled around, I was like, oh, he's going off on the wrong foot right there. I'm like, well, really? I was like, wait, what? What am I talking about? Like, I'm doing analysis of this. But that was really cool because you get these four people on the snowboard, or even worse, on skis, in a fairly small area going down this crazy track down the mountain, and, like, ugliness always ensues. Like, you ski over somebody's skis, and... Yeah, that had the real potential for violence.
I loved it. And they, you know, I'm not one of those who's against the whole, I don't think the tape delay is necessarily the worst thing in the world.
Right.
I don't really care, whatever. I mean, it's bad for something like that hockey game.
Yes.
I want to watch the hockey game live. But
right.
if it's a case of Lindsey Vonn trying to win the gold medal, part of me, I'm more prone to watch if I know that she won. I watched when she won the gold medal, but when she crashed the next day, I didn't watch that time.
I like the aspect of it that they can fit the whole thing into like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't need to watch like somebody from Belarus who comes in 23rd. I don't really need to see their run. Like, you can leave that out. Just show me like the contenders.
Yeah, and that's why when that whatever the short track skiing or whatever the hell that was.
Ski cross.
They show, so right as it's about to start, they're like, and let's meet Greg DeLuca. And he's like, Greg had a drinking problem. He had a couple DUIs. He hit rock bottom. And then he found this stupid sport. And now he's one of the best.
I know.
Like, yeah, I'm rooting for this guy.
I was too. And that was a horrific story because, first of all, that was questionable because he's born in Vail, Colorado, and he's skiing for Canada. Which is
I have a real problem with that.
It's like skiing for Canada, whatever his name was, Greg DeLuca from Vail, Colorado. I'm like,
right.
Is Vail, Colorado part of Canada suddenly? Did we lose a war? What happened there?
That's
it was because
so
his father's Canadian.
Yeah.
And so they had this story about that guy, and the guy was like such a drinker that he broke his neck and fell in a creek.
Yeah.
And was passed out in a creek with a broken neck, and then he continued to drink after that.
Yeah.
And then he, like, turned his life around with ski cross, and then you're rooting for him, and he's in perfect third position for a bronze medal. Like, you're like, oh, that's good. This guy's going to get on the podium. And then he got too aggressive, and he fell off a jump, and he didn't get anything.
He fell in basically the last hill of the gold medal match. He would have won the bronze.
Exactly.
You left out the other great part was that there was a Jamaican guy in the same competition,
yeah.
But they were like, but he skis out of San Diego. It's like, what?
Exactly.
He's Jamaican?
Exactly. Like, if your grandfather or something was born in one country, you apparently remember that country.
I think you could probably do some Olympic stuff for Germany.
Ireland,
your grandfather.
I could be the Irish curling team.
Yeah,
tell me that wouldn't be a good time.
That would be a good time.
I'm shooting for 2014. We're going head-to-head. When you represent America, I'm going to be on the Irish curling team.
I like that. I don't think there is an Irish curling team.
I'm going to start it. It looks like the Jamaican bobsled team.
Well, it's
funny. I've got 4 years to learn how to play.
These sports are so much more action-packed. When we were growing up, the ski jump, I remember being just enchanted by the ski jump. But
yeah.
Now you're watching it, it's just really boring. And every jump looks the same. Nobody ever, like,
right.
Even seems like they're about to fall or anything. And it's just, like, on a loop, basically.
The famous Wide World of Sports thing, you know, where the agony of defeat and the guy, like, went careening off the side of the thing and
yeah.
Ski jumping. And that never happens anymore.
Right. And then with the luge, unfortunately, the guy died in the first day and they had to slow the train. I mean, that totally changed the luge for me because
yeah.
I always used to root for these guys to fly off the track. I never thought anything bad would happen to them. And then I was, like, shocked that guy died.
I mean, the luge thing is just crazy when you think about it. That you're on, there's like, it's not like you're in a car. You're, like, on this sled, like, an inch off the ice, and you're going 90 miles an hour with just, like, a thin suit and a helmet to protect you. I mean, that's insanity.
When we were growing up, the guys were going probably like, what, 50 miles an hour, and they'd always like go into haystacks?
Yeah.
So now it's almost like the speed has gotten too much. Like, we saw a bobsled flip over.
Yeah.
I don't know how the guy didn't die.
Yeah, he like landed on his head and like.
Yeah, you go into a crouch.
A couple hundred yards or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, the guy like gets out and says, whoa, that was bad. It's like, what?
Yeah, those bobsled guys, every guy's built like a linebacker. Like, those guys are just, that's craziness too. And they're going like 90 miles an hour in a bobsled. Even the commentator was like, I can't believe this track, they're going 90 miles an hour.
Yeah.
That's why I think you and I have discussed this in the past, and I expanded on it the other night, and I was talking to some people about, it's a ridiculous to me that you get the same medal if you were, like, involved in the luge, where literally a poor guy died, or bobsled, where you have the potential to die, or hockey, where you're, like, beating the hell out of each other for a long tournament. You get the same medal in that as you do in, like, freaking short track speed skating or curling, where a five-month pregnant woman gets it.
Yeah.
I think you should get, like, a different size medal. Like, if you're in a sport where you could potentially die, you should get, like, a gold medal, like, the size of, like, one of Flavor Flav's clocks. Like, a huge one.
You and I... I've been saying this for years. I think we've been saying this together since college.
I think so.
Should be four different levels of medals.
Right.
And I agree. If you win that luge where somebody died during the competition,
right.
That is the Flavor Flav medal.
Absolutely. You get like a Flavor Flav gold medal. It's that big. If you're a five-month pregnant woman in a sport and you win it, that's well and good. You're an Olympian. That's great. But maybe you should get like a watch. Instead of like a medal.
Or it should be like the size of a silver dollar.
Yeah, like a smaller medal, right. Right.
Or like women's hockey, where it's basically just us in Canada and everybody else is happy to be there.
Right.
It's like, yeah, hey, we finally have enough women's hockey players to send an Olympic team this year. This is awesome. We're going to lose 9-1. They should get the silver dollar medal, I think.
Yeah, I agree, yeah. It should only be for real hockey where there's checking and violence and you're, you know, pouring your blood out there on the ice.
And I think, like, something like the downhill.
Oh, yeah. You should get a big medal for that.
You're flying. Did you see some of the people wipe out on that? I mean, about as dangerous as it gets.
The most amazing thing was there was some Swedish woman, and she, like, had a horrific crash, and then she skied the next day in, like, the Super Combined, and she won a medal. Now, that takes real guts.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, you wipe out and have to be basically airlifted out of there, and then you're, like, the next day, you're like, when's my start time? Oh, my God, you're crazy.
Yeah.
The downhill is just insane. I mean, that's just craziness.
My least favorite event, the way it's structured, is the one that Apollo Ono's in.
Yes.
the short track, because it really just seems like it's blind luck each time. You can get shoved in the
back
a tiny bit, and it's over, and you have to wait another 4 years.
I agree. And this and that sport, they have like it's like 12 laps. You have, like in this whatever race I was watching, the 1,000 meters or something, it's 10 laps of them doing nothing.
Yeah.
You just like skate around like slowly, just sort of not even really jockeying for position. And then it's 2 laps of insanity, and you just wait for 3 guys in front of you to fall down, and then you skate across, like take each other out, and then you skate across.
Yeah, it should be best 2 out of 3.
Like his first medal that he won, he was in like 4th place. And then the 2 Korean guys tried to make a move, and they took each other out, and then
yeah.
he skates across the line. I'm like, what?
Mm.
He was losing the entire race, and then they took each other out, and he wins. That's the dumbest sport in the world to me.
Hey, it should at least be best 2 out of 3.
They need a bigger track or something. They need more room to move. Like, it's as soon as they get bunched up and they're, like, shoving each other, someone's going down, you know?
I liked it in one of the matches. Apollo Ohno was, like, said, yeah, I got the 2 Koreans in this one. And, you know, these guys work together. He kind of, like, threw them under the bus.
He really
like,
did.
How do I know these guys aren't working together? But it was clear that he thought they were working together.
And he's like, even though it's illegal in our sport or something like that, like, he thought they were going to be, like, you know, giving each other eye movements or something to know, like, to block him on the outside or the inside. Yeah, that was interesting. That's sport to me. And, you know, he seems like a nice enough guy. It's a nice story with his father. But, you know, he's got the most medals ever. But, first of all, about 6 of them are bronzes, I think.
Yeah.
And Eric Heiden and Bonnie Blair, like, the real speed skating, the long-distance one, that like, you freaking almost kill yourself doing that. You know, like, it takes they fall down at the end of the line, you know. I know he's the most decorated Winter Olympian ever, but I think there's an asterisk next to that one.
Yeah, it's like Bobby Cox has been in the most baseball playoffs.
Yeah.
Or whatever. It's one of those stats.
Yeah. Like,
I'm more impressed by Eric Heiden going 5 for 5 and then becoming a doctor.
And that apparently is like, you know, like Cy Young's wins. Like, that's never, ever going to be equaled. Like, they talked about that in the speed skating. Like, no one will ever win all 5 events at an Olympics ever.
Yeah.
It's like unheard of that he was able to do that. And he was such a good athlete that he was going to be in the 1980 Summer Olympics on, like, the bicycling team, except that we boycotted Russia. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
He could have been a double Olympian and became a doctor.
How are you feeling about the hockey team? Because, you know, hey, I mean, they doubled our shots in that game, and it did seem like we got out of there with the skin on our teeth. But I think the one thing we have going for us, if we face Canada again, their fans, like, checked out. They reminded me of the Cleveland fans with LeBron, where they see the possibility of a loss, and they just, like, they kind of clammed up, I thought.
Well, I think there's too much pressure on them.
Way too much.
They absolutely, positively have to win that gold medal, or it's going to be, like, the biggest failure in Canadian history, and you could sense it that whole game.
Yeah.
I thought they were, like, tight as, I mean, I wasn't there, but watching on TV, I thought they were tight as a drum. And I thought, like, the whole arena was the same way. Like, they were just waiting for something bad to happen.
Yes,
and,
I agree.
I mean, especially in the end, the shot thing was probably a little bit inflated because the final 3 minutes, they took about 70 shots, seemingly.
Right.
But, I mean, they were out shooting them all game, and they're a very good team. They got a lot of good players. But I just think the pressure is way too much. Plus, it's set up nice for the U.S. now because they have to play Russia in the semifinals. I guess Russia is really loaded, too. You know, so that they could beat each other up in the U.S. I mean, I don't know who the U.S. would face on their side of the bracket. Like, who else is good? Sweden?
Right.
Czech Republic? But, you know, you don't have to face Russia or Canada until the final. That definitely helps America.
It was a pre-2004 Red Sox crowd, I thought.
Yes.
Just waiting for something horrible to happen. I'm most excited for Canada-Russia, for Ovechkin and Crosby, because...
Yeah.
Those guys have bad blood anyway.
Right.
If it could work out where we somehow avoid Canada again and then get the winner of that match down the road, I think that game down the road, that would be good.
Yeah, I think that's probably the way it's probably going to work out in the finals. Now, having said that, I mean, I'd be a little nervous if we had to play Canada again because they probably learned some, you know, lessons of the mistakes they made in that game, and the crowd will be like, the crowd's going to be tense, but they're going to be into it. I mean, it's like playing a team, you know, it's a home team crowd, obviously, so... It'd be interesting. But, you know, the goalie for the U.S., he's like freaking Jim Craig-esque. He's standing on his head.
Well, that's the thing. It's like the hockey playoffs where
it really
comes down to who's the better goalie. Brodeur sucked in that game and we won.
You know, that's the other thing about Canada. I saw that they pulled Brodeur. Now they're going to put in Longo. Ooh, I don't know about that. It's like when the Russian coach took out Tretiak or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I thought the same thing. That's funny.
Careful switching goalies in one of these tournaments like that, you know.
Johnny, we'll call you next week for a Winter Olympics wrap-up.
Sounds good. Excellent.
And I'll see you on the curling ice.
Very good. So long, Commissioner.
Target to set off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.
To thank you for making Subway footlongs famous. Now enjoy any regular footlong as a $5 footlong. That's right, any, including your favorites like the savory chicken bacon and ranch. Any Subway regular footlong is just $5. Hurry in.